the command, the importance, and the value of remembering. In Deuteronomy 32, God commanded his people, remember the days of old. That means, folks, it's okay for us older folks to talk about the good old days. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Now, in order to do that, we have to know our history. Would to God that our legislators would know the history of this country better. It would help them make wiser decisions. So he says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask thy father, and he will show thee. Ask thy elders, and they will tell thee. Nothing that older people like to do better than to tell the younger people about the days of old. How that when they used to go to school, they went through 5 feet of snow, had to duck the electric lines, and walked uphill both ways. So I'm telling you, though, there's no problems in America that couldn't be solved if they would listen to the wisdom of the past that is encased in our older generation. And so in the Bible, there are numerous times when God commands his people to remember. Jonah reminds us of the importance of remembering. In Jonah chapter 2, he was already in the fish's belly when he prayed to God. And he said this, when my soul fainted in me, I remembered the Lord. Now, it would have been good for him to remember the Lord before he took that far trip running away from God. But he said, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee. He was praying to God. And so there we see the value of remembering, the importance of remembering. And so David made the statement in Psalms 143. He said, I remember the days of old. I meditate upon all thy works. I muse upon the work of thy hands. He was talking to God on that. Now, I suspect that David was an old man when he did that, when he said that. He may well have been sidelined already. Perhaps he was sitting on a wheelchair. And sometimes we feel like, when we get older, it doesn't matter if we get up in the morning or not. The wheels of commerce keep going. But there was a time when David was very important in what he did in his life. But now he could have been old, and everybody was passing him by. But I can imagine David sitting there, maybe a smile played on his face as he remembered the story of killing the lion and the bear with his bare hands, how the power of God was upon him. It was not in other words, David sitting there was not a sad scene because the power to remember. Yes, he might have remembered many battle victories that he had. There is great value in remembering, especially the things that God has done in our lives. Asaph was David's song leader, and he made a fourfold declaration in Psalms chapter 77, and we're going to read a few of these verses. And if you got your Bibles open, look at verse 10. Verse 10 on Psalm 77, he said this, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. Take note of the when he said, I will, the I will is in there. The next one, verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You know, it's a good thing when people talk about the past, what God has done in our lives. And your children should know your testimony of what God has done in your life. Now, in verse 10, he said here, notice he said, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of thy right hand. Now, when he was saying about his infirmity, he was talking about his weakness, maybe his wrong thinking. By the way, God's people often have wrong thinking, and we need to clean up our act in our minds and in our thoughts. Because the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, what you think about is what you are. So, what was he talking about when he was talking about his infirmity? I think we need to look back here, a couple of verses before, look at verse 7. He said this, will the Lord cut off forever? What a question. Will he be favorable no more? Really, David? Or Asaph, this was Asaph, all the things he'd done for him. He said, will he be favorable no more? Verse 8, he says, is his mercy clean going forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Boy, the devil loves when he can get us to doubt on the goodness of God. But now against this backdrop of wrong thinking, Asaph made a firm determination. And it starts with the word but. He says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but. Now, but is a conjunction of contrast. Something different is coming up. Many times when we say but after a declaration, I believe that God saves, but we have to endure unto the end. I believe that I'm secure in God, in Christ, but I have to keep it by my works. This is the works crowd, the works that believe in a works salvation. Asaph was changing his tune here. He made this determination. And he said, I will remember, this is verse 10, I will remember the right hand of the Most High. The right hand speaks of God's power. In other words, Psalm 62 says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to our God. Again, in Psalm 68, he said, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. And this is a wonderful thing for us to think about. Jeremiah stood amazed when he said, oh, Lord God, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. One of the worst things that has hit our country is the teaching of evolution. And so how many times do the preachers of the old refer to God's creation? By the way, these Christians that tell, so-called Christians that tell, well, we just tell our children, instead of reading Genesis so much, read the New Testament. In other words, they don't believe in the creation story. They believe in the evolution story. What a shame. What a sad thing. It's just a matter of time. You don't believe Genesis, you'll be questioning all the other books of the Bible. Amen. And so he said in verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. I will. And that's a declaration. The command, the value, and the importance of remembering. Now let's do a little survey here. What great works of God can come to mind when you read or when you hear the preaching of God's word and the importance of remembering? If you would think back from the beginning of time, what great things might Asaph have been thinking about when he said, I will remember the work of thy right hand? Well, let's have a little bit of class time, because this is class time. In class time, you can speak, and you can speak up. During the preaching time, we usually don't allow for that. But this is class time. What was he thinking about? The great power of God expressed in this world. Somebody help me out here. Can you answer that? Can somebody? Yes, sir. Well, we're here. What's that? Yes. Deliver us from Egypt. How many times did God remind them throughout the Psalms and throughout teaching later is to remember how God delivered them out of Egypt? What's something else? Somebody else? Yes, sir. Yes, the flood. By the way, that explains so much. That's why you find fossils on top of mountains today. Because the water was up there one time. Amen. And it was in the time of the flood. Amen. And how about the 10 plagues? How about when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and asked for fire to come down, and he had poured water on the altar, and there was a trench of water around it, and we prayed, the fire fell and burned up the offering, the sacrifice. Not only that, it burned up the water around it. Great miracle. I like to think of this one. The Syrian king was really mad because he said, somebody among us is ratting on what we're doing. And Israel is finding out what my war strategies always come to naught because they're just a step ahead of me. He said, which one of you is telling them, there's somebody among us that's telling them what we're doing? And one of them said, no, it's Elisha. Elisha knows what you talk about in your bedroom, in your secret places. He sent a troop of men. They were going to destroy Elisha. And when they came, Elisha's servant went out and he saw all of them. He said, we're undone. We are done. And Elisha prayed. Elisha said, Lord, show him. Reveal yourself to him. He went out and looked, and the whole mountain was filled with fiery chariots. And they were no longer afraid. And so, folks, if we could see what's going on around us sometimes in the heavenlies, it would help us. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. The command to remember. Turn to Psalms 105, if you would. Keep your finger in here because we will be coming back again. But in Psalms 105, I want you to look at verse 5 if you get to it. Psalms 105, not so far away from here. Psalms 105, and I'm going to read a couple verses here. Psalms 105, verse 5, he says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Psalms 105, verse 5. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. This, we need to back up and get verse 1 to 4. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. That's, by the way, that's what preaching so much is about, is preaching, is making known the great deeds of the Lord. A preacher is not supposed to be up there and magnify himself, but we're to magnify the Lord. He says in verse 2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. There again, talk about it. I love the hymns that we sing. Sometimes there's two things I marvel about. I marvel at the great doctrine that is expounded on in the hymns that we sing. I marvel also at the frivolity and the lightness of some of these contemporary songs. There's nothing to it. It's I call them the 7-Eleven songs. It's repeat 7 words 11 times. And so he says in verse 3, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord in his strength, seek ye his face evermore. And then he says, remember his marvelous works. So see, do you see how remembering ties all of this together? Now, if we're going back to chapter 77 again, where we were, in verse 11, where it says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Now, this should include our personal experience in seeing and remember how God worked in our life, in our lives. It would be a wonderful thing if we could just spend time here this morning in talking about each one of us, what God has done in our life. If God has saved your soul from hell, you've got something wonderful to talk about. Somebody said, well, I don't have a story like the guy that got saved from out of hell's angels. Now, you got more to say than he does. God spared you from that kind of degradation. And you can thank God for it. Now, speaking of experiencing these things, I think of Jacob's uncle Laban. Remember, Jacob went to his uncle Laban, and he worked 14 years for his wives. And then Laban really realized how much he's blessed by Jacob's presence. And he talked him into staying another 7 years. For 21 years, he worked for him. And then one day, Jacob packed up his families and all his things. And he snuck away because he knew that Laban wouldn't want to let him go. So he snuck away and Laban didn't find it out. Now, of course, Laban, what did he do? Well, he followed him. Laban pursued him. But the point I want to make is when he caught up with him, this isn't the appeal that he made. He made this appeal. He said, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned. Let's see what he learned. I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. The Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And brother, because of you, I've received great blessings. Now, it'd be nice to also to hear about great blessings you have enjoyed because of somebody else in your congregation here. There's somebody in this room that you could point to and say, because of him, because of her, I have greatly been blessed of God. Now, folks, that's something for us to remember. It's something for us to talk about. Did you know that we can enjoy certain blessings over and over again and again by way of remembering? I remember the days of old, David said. I meditate upon all thy works. That means I really think about it. There are memories of certain people, memories of certain events, remembering divine instances that out of the blue, as I remember them, it puts a smile on my face. And indeed, I can say with the psalmist when he said, this is the Lord's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes. You know, we know the next verse. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But that has to be based on the verse before. This is the Lord's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes. If you're quick to marvel about what God is doing around you, you've always got something to marvel about. Because God is always doing something around us in our lives. He's done great things in the past, and I'm excited what's coming up in the future. By the way, there's great things happening in our country right now. God is working, and that's a good thing for us to consider. When I remember my lost condition in a deep darkness of the Amish religion, I was seeking in vain to gain salvation and God's favor by observing a list of man-made traditions. Oh, I remember when the gospel light flooded my soul and the revelation of truth from God's word hit me. I didn't hear this verse preached ever in the Amish church. Not by works of righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. Folks, that was a revelation to me because I was depending on my works. Well, if somebody asks, how right are you with God? I would measure myself. Well, at least I'm doing more than such and such. I'm better than this person. That's not how we measure ourselves. And by the way, none of us deserve the grace of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. But you've got to receive it. And praise the Lord. Somebody took the time and showed me, thus and thus saith the Lord. The Bible says in Jeremiah 15, thy words were found. And Jeremiah said, I did eat them. And thy word was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Oh, the wonder of it all. Folks, I've never seen Niagara Falls, and I'd love to go see Niagara Falls, but I don't have to go to see Niagara Falls to see the wonders of God. And I thank God that I can look in my own life, and I can come to a church like this and see the wonder of God, wonders of God. There's so many of them. And by the way, don't take this church for granted. You belong to a very special church. And you got a pastor that is, I couldn't say enough good about him. And I know he wouldn't want that. He wants the Lord to be magnified. But I'm just saying, don't take things for granted. Keep marveling at what God has done, what God is doing right here in your midst. The devil and the world with all its tinsel, with all its glitter, want us to forget the heavenly things in our lives. For instance, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Then I'm saying, he says in Colossians, seek ye the Lord. Set your affections upon heavenly, on things above, and not on the things of this earth. That means on purpose, we can do that. And then let's remember things and not forget the things that some things we need to forget, but a lot of things we need to remember. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. But the next verse says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He names a bunch of the benefits there. Who redeemeth my soul from destruction, who healeth all my diseases, and who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Those are things that God does, and God, we need to be reminding ourselves, talking to ourselves. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He was talking to himself. We need to talk to ourselves about the great things that God has done. Ida and I, on the 5th of June, just in the month past, thanks for singing happy anniversary to us this morning. I took that very personal. We celebrated our second anniversary. You say, how's that, preacher? I thought you were married a long time. Well, we actually, 2 years ago, we celebrated our 50th anniversary. But I signed up for another 50 years right then. And so this year, we celebrate our second year of our the second year of our second 50, if that makes any sense. But how it warms my heart to go back down memory lane and relive those precious hours 50 some years ago, that like when Ida said to me, yes, yes, and to my proposal that she would be my girl, that I could claim her with the intent to marry her. I mean, it was too good to be true in my mind. Why? Well, you see, I had polio, and when I was in my teens, I realized that, wow, will I ever be able? I just wanted to do what other boys do. I wanted to run like the other boys run, jump like, and I couldn't do those things. And I realized, would ever a girl say yes to me? And I resigned to thinking not a pretty and a perfect girl like Ida would ever settle for me. But now, when that happened, when she said yes to me, the sun shone brighter, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener, and yes, even the birds sang more cheerfully in the treetops. It really added so much, and I've never gotten over that. Because I know when we got married, I got the best end of the deal. And so I still have this, at that time, I still had it fresh in my mind that a girl I had dated before that for some time, and things were going well, and one evening, she said, Glenn, I can't date you anymore. I said, why not? She said, my mama said that she don't want me to be as poor as she was. And I tell you, her mama was poor because her husband, I mean, he never had more than two nickels to rub together in his pocket because he didn't work, he didn't manage, and so forth. But they looked at me as just probably couldn't make a living for a family of 15 kids. Sometimes that's what the Amish have. And so that ended that. And so when Ida and I started seeing each other, I told her, I said, Ida, you go ask your mama if she's okay with it. She said, Glenn, I know she's okay with it. I said, ask her anyhow. I didn't want to go through that again because I had built up my hopes. And so she asked her, and folks, when she came back, said, what did she say? She said, it doesn't matter that you're crippled. Doesn't matter how poor you are. as long as you never, ever leave the Amish. How many of you think that haunted me ever came back to? But, of course, we had no thoughts of that ever at that time. But I'm simply saying God has an amazing way of working. And how often have I fervently thanked God that God stopped that? At the time, it broke my heart, but I wouldn't have today what I have if God would not have intervened. The Bible says concerning God, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As saith the Lord, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I thank God for that truth. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalms 107, verse 15. That's a refrain. That same verse comes up four times in that chapter. I suppose it was a song that they sang, and that was the chorus. Psalms 34 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Now, I love to recall to my memory the story of Joseph and Mary. And I'm likely to cry when I talk about that. But this church had so much to do with that. So we go over that story. We talked about that yesterday when we rehearsed about that. You see, one day I got a call from my son, Ivan. He pastors a church in South Dakota, Brookings, South Dakota. And on the phone he said, "Dad, I just got a call from a man from Indiana that I don't know him, but I know he was an Irishman because he had a Dutchy accent." Does Joseph still have a Dutchy accent? And so he said, "And Dad, this is what he said. He's very interested in hearing about the gospel and talking about the Lord. You've got to call him, Dad. But I gave him your number so he could call you." Well, I told him, I said, "I'm going to wait so many hours. And if you don't call me, I'm going to have to call him." And sure enough, he didn't call me. I had to call him. But my, what a connection that was. And then we find out the story of how a man from this church had put a tract at a public sale. And Joseph, working at that sale, picked up that tract, didn't have time to read it then, slipped in his pocket, went home. When he showed it to his wife, she looked at the picture of my oldest son, and she said, "That looks like my dad when my dad was young." Well, there was reason for it, because her dad is my son's uncle. And so we've got to call, and we've got to talk. And so that's, after that, we made the connection. And I said, "Joseph, would you, I bet you I know where that tract came from." Because we had been here, and we had given tracts to you from that source. And because I remember Pastor Ross said, I need a whole bunch of those. And he got a bunch of them. And I said, "Would you go to church if we arranged it? Because I want you to meet those church people." He said, "Yeah, if you don't tell anybody and make sure the church knows, they can't talk about it. Because nobody there could find out about it, or they would have stopped them from doing that." And they came here that day. We stayed the whole day. By the way, Pastor said, "Come on, I'll have you preach that day." Well, that was another strong incentive for me to come. And now we were here, and then, before that, we just have a little Prius. By the way, I like my Prius, but it doesn't haul a lot of people. And so I said, I said, "Pastor, we'll just rent a van when we get down there, and then we'll bring them to church the next day." He said, "You won't do that at all. I'll have one of my buses come down there and pick you all up." And so he did. And so they came down and picked us up. Yes, it was Brian Morris, and came, and I think you had your daughter with you, and came down, picked us up. And then not only that, but he took us back home again at the end of the day. So we were here for all the services. And on the way home, I never forget this, Brother Brian asked the question. He said, "Joseph, would you like to come again on Wednesday if I come pick you up?" And I almost quitted. I thought, wow, that's another 100 mile for a round trip. And Joe said, well, we would like that. And he said, be ready by 5 o'clock. I'll be there to pick you up. I'm so glad, Brian, that you did that. Yeah, that was a great investment. By the way, it's still bearing fruit. And here's the wonderful thing about that. Talk about those things, because those things are not only affecting Joseph and Mary, but they're affecting the next generation that they're bringing up. And the school here is teaching their children. And hopefully one day they'll be teaching their children. And so it goes on and on. We found out who gave the tract. It was John Barnes. Well, John Barnes was not a flashy figure in the church here. But he placed that tract down. And if he wouldn't have placed that tract down, he wouldn't have found it, and we wouldn't have got connected. Folks, do you see how God puts the puzzle together? Amen. And we can be part of that puzzle. In verse 12, he says, I will meditate also of all thy work. That is, he will choose to think about it. And I'm saying, choose your thoughts, folks. Channelize your thoughts. Because you are in control of what you think. You sit down on that rocking chair and you just let your thoughts coast. They go from one topic to another. They don't stay on one subject. You have to channelize the thoughts. And then we have to cast down, throw out the bad thoughts, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God gives us a pattern for right thinking. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, if be any lovely, pure, if there be any good things, think on these things. Be ready to give a testimony at the drop of a hat of what God has done in your life. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalms 42 says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul that is within me. Now, then he says, with the voice of joy and praise. That's what it ends up doing. Joseph, don't ever forget those days. Keep that memory alive. And we should express appreciation once in a while to those who affected our lives in such a wonderful way. I remember the first time we were to the Baptist church. It was a cold day in January. It was 41 years ago this year, 1984. And we came in there not because somebody invited us. They had sent flyers out, the pastor, that they're having an ordination service. Well, I knew the Amish didn't ordain their ministers according to the word of God. I said, I want to see this. So we packed up three of our couples. We packed up and went. We left our children at home because we didn't know what they might see in this church. You know, it was our first time. So we walked in there. We stood in the back dressed in our Amish clothes. And there was a preacher who were there from out of state. And one of the preachers looked at the young 27-year-old pastor who was going to be ordained that day. He said, sir, looks like you got some visitors back there. He took one look at us. He said, looks like they could be troublemakers for the ordination today. He didn't come and shake our hands, but we were seated, and they sang, and they preached. I couldn't, oh my goodness, for the first time in my life, we heard real Bible preaching. And when they came, the ordination part of that day was the preacher, and his wife came up on the platform, and they asked that preacher 60-plus questions, doctrinal questions. He had an answer for every one of them. Many of them were buttressed with Scripture. And we were just sitting there wowed. Well, the song leader got up and he said, everybody's invited after the service to come over to Fellowship Hall. There's a meal prepared there. Well, we looked at each other and, yeah, we were all hungry, so let's stay. I made sure I sat with the preacher that preached that day. And I must have had a dozen questions that I asked him. After that meal, he went over to that young preacher and said, brother, you got some people here hungering for the word of God. He said, you got to take care of them. And he did. The next day, at 9 o'clock, he was out there. He said, would you all like to have a Bible study on every Tuesday? And folks, that was the beginning of something wonderful. Like Joseph and Mary here, we never quit going to that church for years. In fact, I was ordained in that church then later on. So many things happened then that I don't ever want to forget those things. Let me just, I'm trying to close here. In Isaiah 46, it says this, remember this and show yourselves men. Folks, just be real men. We need real men in our churches. He said, bring it to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none like me. The command, the importance, and the value of remembering. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for how you have worked in our lives. I praise you for the history of God's people. And I thank you, Lord, for this church and what they are doing and the impact that is made. For years and years, we were praying for Ida's family, somebody to get saved. And it was by way of this church that good things started to happen. And today, she has three nephews, three nieces that are born again in Bible-believing, independent Baptist churches serving God. Lord, how we thank you for being our God, working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.